Today, we're addressing the controversy. Dotto.
Nano?
We're here, man. We're back.
Truly here.
It's time to actually discuss what I know everyone's been wanting us to discuss, and we didn't get to in the previous episode of the podcast because that was filmed before the other one sort of went out into the wild and we got to see the feedback, and now we're here today to address everyone and all of their concerns.
Concern? Damn, you made it sound like we killed three dudes, man. Like, what? Why is it so dark and gloomy in this fucking podcast?
Before we get caught. So
yeah, I was gonna say, you're making it sound like we committed an act of treason, bro, a literal crime.
I mean, to some people,
I don't think this was the worst one we've had.
This is crazy.
I will say this has been my favorite key moments. I always love, I don't know how you feel, but I genuinely love when this happens, as long as it's respectful above board, obviously. And I think this one was handled pretty well. This is what I love the podcast for, a little discussion, a little like, it doesn't have to be, you know, clean. You can call me a dumb fuck if you want. You can call me a meathead. But I've been loving this one. This one's been great.
Now, dude, I want to also, by the way, the meathead thing is really, really expanded. Like, I'm getting called a meathead, like, across the internet now. Like, I'm seeing this more than just in the key moments section. And it's so funny to me because it's like, and maybe there are past podcast episodes where I've tried to sort of deny it, and maybe I've just accepted it at this point. But, like, I'm not trying to escape the meathead allegations anymore. Like, that is who I am. I like that shit. Like, what's, like, you know what I mean? But people say it, like, in a way that in a derogatory way or something, like that I shouldn't want to be that, and like it's a bad thing that I am.
I'll say this now, because this is the only thing that I don't like. And when I say don't like, that sounds serious, but it's not that serious. And you do this sometimes too, Nana. You're actually the number one guy that probably does this, but people will go, I'm referring to Fidel's tweet, under the tweet that we'll bring up here in a second. But Fidel was like, leave him alone, bro. They just joshing around. I hate to say it, guys, but this was not a josh around
this
moment.
Was not
I really,
a josh around moment.
I really be mean in this shit. Like, what? Like, I just liked it, but I guess we should bring up the exact, you know, what we got, what we're discussing here, right?
Yeah. Here, let's let the clip play, you know, like I'm kind of thinking like,
yeah,
we
yeah,
just,
yeah,
we,
yeah.
We,
let's
we
let, let's let it play. Audio
case.
Listen, audio listeners will hear it. Video listeners, watchers will hear it and listen. So, here we go, guys. We've got a big clip up here.
Let's see. Let's see. What did Nano and Dotto like 7 days ago say? Let's hear. Here we go.
I didn't hear it, but I did see a tweet from somebody that I think I follow and like is cool. So nothing against them, but they were like, it's crazy how one more bonus sounds better than to go further beyond.
This took me out.
I thought that was the craziest. I didn't say anything, but I literally, I rolled my eyes while I was holding my phone. I was like, you cannot be serious. Damn. I was like, bro, it's not even in the same fucking league. It's not even in the same league, bro. That shit is in the, one more bonus is in the goddamn G League. That shit sounds stupid as hell.
Dude.
One more bonus.
Going even further beyond has legacy, dog. That's...
I guess
a few more seconds.
The Luffy's red rock is more iconic than Kamehameha tweets, bro. Like, I was like, what are we talking about? One more bonus?
Dude.
That shit is not getting its own AMV, dog. It's not. It just isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that's where the clip ends, because that when people, they were clowning on me for that one.
They really latched on to the AMV part.
Which, dude, this is, I love shit like this, because I can see, like, moments like that. Like, that sounds like a bad soundbite. But the thing is, I do mean it. And not in, like a lot of people are like, you judging shit off AMVs, we're truly lost. Which is funny. I'm not gonna lie, that is funny. But I meant more in the sense of, like, it's cool. It sounds good. It's, like, exciting. And also, I just, the to go further beyond moment, in my head, I think of that as one of the biggest pop culture references for Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
because that shit did the numbers on, like, I know you used to watch League streams, like, but like streamers were playing the Further Beyond like edit with like Brainstorm or whatever that song was called. People love that moment. It's huge. And then, oh man, I have so many things I want to say. I don't even know how to order all these.
I want to say one.
Yeah, so, yeah, jump in. That's please.
So
just jump in.
So I mentioned its legacy, and people were also going in on this dog. They're like, legacy, just legacy with the English viewers. Well, yes, man. This was the English dub. So yes, it has legacy with the people that are going to be watching the English dub. I will say, some people that that hopped in, they said English wasn't their native language, but that scene specifically was viral for them and their like in their country as well, which was not a native English speaking country, because that moment just meant so much to them. But people latched onto that part. Then the other one I wanted to address really quick while it's on my mind, they fell for the nostalgia bait, which was a very highly upvoted comment on our video. Dog, what are we talking about? Just watched him redo the SSJ 3 scene and then add this on SSJ 4. The whole thing was nostalgia bait. So
yes,
what are we talking
about?
This is
the only one that genuinely pisses me off, because what are you guys literally fucking talking about? Like, oh, they nostalgia baited. The entire scene was a goddamn reference. The entire fucking scene was a reference. This is the only shit that actually pissed me off, because they were like, oh, wow. I'm like, bro, the entire... Nano, we were watching the show. Before the show started, you said, they're going to do the thing where he levels up one by one and says it one by one. And then you literally said he's going to go and go Further Beyond and go Super Saiyan 4. And I called you a dumb fuck meathead. But you were right, Nano. And when you were right, I said you were right. But everybody else like fell for the nostalgia bait. The nostalgia bait started 4 minutes ago, dog. The whole thing is nostalgia bait. Neva hit him with Neva magic and he grew a tail and went red. Where in the show is that foreshadowed? The entire fucking show is the nostalgia bait. That is the only one that pissed me off. That was what I was gonna say before. It was like, I don't even know what to say. It's like, oh, that shit pissed me off. Okay, you got me. Okay, that was the only trigger point, dude. You got me. I'm glad we got that one out of the way early, because that shit genuinely confused me. Like, people will sit here and talk to me like they're the literature god and reference, and then they will hit me with that. Like, yeah, I don't like how they nostalgia baited at the end. The end? What do you mean the end? Oh my God. Like, I do want to bring this one up, because Carthu's Dojo, big Dragon Ball guy, loved the videos. He put out a tweet, which he was kind of agreeing with us. He was like, I'll just read it. The scene for, and link it to you. Sorry, cut myself off six times. The scene for adult Super Saiyan 4 and Daima is already a one-to-one rip of Goku's first Super Saiyan 3 transformation. So thinking even Further Beyond sounds better is fine. But I don't know, saying one more bonus after the callback is done is just so dope to me. Dragon Ball needs new iconography to survive. I've never said that word out loud or seen it, even though I use it and agree. Because I do agree, Nano. And that's what I was trying to say you in the podcast. I do want Dragon Ball to do more things. But my reply was, I want that. But again, the whole damn thing is a callback. Why are we going to do something new at the end? I don't think that was ever the intention. I think they were specifically redoing the old scene because it was the old scene and it was cool. Like you said, when we were watching the episode.
He's referring to the first time, by the way, not the dub. He's referring to like when we watched it on the sub, on the initial.
Yes,
like
yes.
Initial
when we were watching the original sub
reaction,
and Nano said, longtime Key Moments listeners, I guess they'd also have to be part of the bonus. He might have said it in the bonus, but we would constantly have these like meathead agendas.
Yeah,
I was constantly, for most of it,
you
after a certain
anti,
point,
you were anti SSJ.
Yes,
for
I was.
The longest time
I was.
Too.
Yes, because I wanted something new. But even then, SSJ 4 is still cool. But we would have these like meathead guessing moments. We do it all the time. We're like, and then it's going to cut out to space and Moro's going to be in prison.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like we do this all the time. But you called this one to the T, and they did it. And I think that was the entire point. There was nothing new here. Like this was the point. The point is just now there's even more beyond than Super Saiyan 3. That was it. That was pretty much my big take. But I do want to say, in terms of Dragon Ball needing to be new, that's a much bigger discussion, and I would love for them to start doing new things and just having new cool moments.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what's crazy is a lot of this, I think, also gotten taken out of context, because all we were saying was like verbally, out loud, if Sean would have said verbatim one more bonus versus verbatim to go even further beyond, which one hits more for us? and it's easily that to go even further beyond, right?
Like easily, not even
that's,
close.
That's all we were trying to say. And it's just funny to see it. So I don't know. It's also so interesting just seeing so many people across the internet literally say like they don't want to watch the podcast, so like because they just don't want to hear our takes anymore.
Yes, which is, that one's also funny. Like there are people that are like, I like Nano and Dada, which thank you.
Yeah,
thank but then you, they're like listening to their podcast pisses me off and makes me hate them, which it's pretty funny. And if you feel like that, I mean, true, you know, more power to you. We are, you know, pretty. I just went on a 4-minute rant, so you know, I get you.
Dada, I want to pick back up on a slight lesser controversial topic that I brought up, which kind of brings into two topics I wanted to talk about today. One of them is the anime awards, because Solo Leveling won anime of the year, which I say with a bit of a chuckle in my voice, because I am not shocked, but also I don't know. I'll talk about more on that after I tell you guys that Dotto kind of teased it, but we have a bonus section to this podcast where you can support the podcast and makes cool things like Dotto coming out to San Monica Studio possible, as well as maybe future crazy things that you've not even seen yet. I don't know. But you can do that by clicking join here on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments. You get access to today. We did Z Rewatch. For all the Z Rewatch heads, we are rewatching Dragon Ball Z and we're reacting to all the episodes right now. We got to episode 57 today, so you can get access to 56 and 57, as well as access to every other piece of bonus content that we've ever made in the almost 2 years history of Key Moments by becoming a member today. So Dada, I watched Solo Leveling season 2 finally. Okay, you've not watched, you don't know, you've not read it, you've not watched it, any of it, right?
No.
I made a pretty inflammatory tweet, which like was honestly like me just going to Twitter to tweet as soon as I like finished it. So I was obviously like on the high, right? Like I was definitely on, like, you could say recency bias. I mean, I literally wrapped it up and went to Twitter to talk about
it. You were just excited.
That's what you do. And there was one thing people got, I'll read it for you guys. And there's one thing that people got super like caught up on, but I said, caught up on Solo Leveling and I fear it just shot up to one of my top five anime of all time for one reason and one reason alone. Sawano, the Attack on Titan composer, composed the OST of the big fight in season 2 and a few other things. And it was just too good. Plus Shadowborn, which is one of the few other things. It's an actual track that you can like listen to. It's not just pure OST. Like it actually has singing and all of that on it. This season was on another level. I don't care. And people really focus in on me putting Solo Leveling in my top five. Now, if I did a true top five list right now, do I think Solo Leveling is on it? Probably not. Right? Like it's probably not edging out like the Frieren or Yu Hakusho, or obviously not Dragon Ball, stuff like that. But anyways, mostly just trying to say, like, I really liked this show. And so many people got so hooked on me saying it might be in my top five. The biggest criticism of this show, which I know you don't love, I guess, the basis of what the show is, which is, like, very game-esque. But I keep seeing people say that the show has no story, right? Like, the big meme I see is, like, you guys got any story or character development or something like that? And it's like, no, but we got aura and hype moments. And then like, it's Will Smith, like looking away or whatever. And don't get me wrong, this show is tons of aura, and like Sung literally never loses and he always adapts and evolves and da da da. There's always like something that basically is like, oh, maybe he'll get caught up here. Nope. There's the system doing something else. And anyway, but I do think people aren't giving enough credit. And my guess is what's happened with the show, dude, is it's just popular thing is popular. So now I don't want to like it because it's popular. I think that's what's happened with this show specifically. It's gotten to the point where it's like everyone just says overrated. Like if I look at the replies, I bet you I see the word overrated like several times because that's just like where it's at. But it's something that popular.
It's just a popular show
for a reason, probably because it's so easily digestible. Like it's just such a throw on. Easy to follow. Something happens in every episode, Dotto. Like there's not a single episode that goes by that something doesn't happen. Like you're not having filler in a show like this. Like there's a fight's gonna happen. There's gonna be some sort of character development, and that's every singular episode. You know, there's some level of payoff, and I think that matters to people. I think that's why it probably did get so popular. But it won Anime of the Year over a lot of other anime that I think people felt were more worthy of the award. And I don't, we talk all the time, you don't really watch a ton of anime, so I don't think you have a horse in this race. Is that probably a proper way to say that?
Yeah, you think I got another show I'm trying to prop up over it?
It was Don to Don, Delicious in Dungeon, Frieren, Kaiju number 8, Solo Leveling, and Apothecary Diaries were what were up for Anime of the Year. And obviously, I only have really like 2.5-ish horses in this run because I've watched half of Kaiju and 2 episodes of Don to Don. That's it. But I've watched Solo Leveling and Frieren. Me personally, I would have chosen Frieren. That's just me. If you're a longtime viewer of this podcast, you've heard me glaze Frieren a million and one times. That show just surprised the shit out of me. I don't know. I just did not expect to like that show as much as I did. But I'm guessing of these 6 shows, you don't really care, do you?
I've watched a little bit of Don to Don. Kaiju number 8, I just read. But yeah, I probably would have guessed Frieren would be better. But nah, I don't know. No personal shows that I watch a ton of, nah.
I'm so serious, dude. The Solo Leveling, it's what people, I think, get mad at us for liking in Dragon Ball, right? Like, when we make comments, like, if you're going to watch Daima, just watch, like, 17 through 20. And people get mad about that.
Yeah, I know that one.
That's the Solo Leveling experience. Solo Leveling is basically 17 through 20 of Daima. And it's that every episode, like, right? So, and like, I saw a lot of people that said, like, you know, because I said one reason alone is like the OST, because OSTs carry for me, bro. Like, if the show has a good OST, it's already got a few bonus points.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and stop you right there, because people don't know how much that matters to you. I'm sure Nana would watch a stick fight I drew if the Attack on Titan, you know, music people worked on it.
Hell yeah.
But to a level that he's not explaining well enough, like, when I go to sit down in Nano's car, if he picks me up from the airport, he's like, you listen to this? And it's it's an OST. It's like orchestral, you know, soundtrack. He's like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, what's your favorite song right now? He's like, I like a remix this YouTuber did of this other OST. It's like, he is a big music guy. Like, the score is a lot.
It does. It matters a ton to me. There's a reason when we do the Z rewatch, and I know a lot of people have this is a very controversial one or a very polarizing one, but I like hearing the Faulkner music, man. It's just how I grew up watching it. It's how I grew up listening to it. Like that does matter like that much to me. So, yeah, dude, the composer on this is the Attack on Titan composer, and the moment I'm talking about specifically, like he just nailed so well. It's pretty much like, I think one of the reasons the right here, right now moment went as viral as it did is because of the OST in that scene. Like, and when people edit that scene, they don't edit the OST out because the OST hits so hard. Like, the OST goes with that moment. Like, it raises that moment from, like, an already, like, 9 out of 10 moment to, like, an 11 out of 10 easily, right? Like, that, I don't know. So, anywho, I just wanted to bring up the Anime Awards, see if that meant anything to you, and just address the fact that, do I think Solo Leveling is in my top 5? No, probably not, right? It's a bit inflammatory tweet. It's just me, I guess, in a very bad way saying, I just really like this show. Like, holy shit. This show's awesome.
I think you're fine, dude. I threw a couple wilted flowers at you, but yeah. Mostly just because I'm a blind hater. It's just fun for me to blind hate.
Dude, people are asking for the Dada Doya Solo Leveling reaction. I think we got to give it to him at some point when you're in the Santa Monica studio, dude. Just, you know,
worst thing is, I have a feeling that if I watch it, I probably would be like, yeah, that was pretty good. Like, that was, like, I don't think I hate it or anything. I just think, man, I got to watch it. I got to watch it. It's just, I just am worried that it's going to be like, I put 5 levels into strength and now I am so cool. It is over for you guys. I'll give it a chance.
Here's the thing. I will say, like, production on this show is so good. Like, the voice acting's really good. The animation's really good. As I've already yapped enough about, the OST's really good. I think it will, as many people have replied and said, like, I don't know if it's top 5, but it definitely is just, like, a fun watch. Like, it's just a fun watch. Like, plain and simple. Like, I don't know that it's going to be, like, I don't know that it's going to crack a ton of people's, like, top lists, like, over, like, probably more anime they care more deeply about, but I definitely, there's a reason it has so much more viewership than like any other anime on Crunchyroll, because it's so easily digestible to hop down and watch and just be like, yes, you know, like that shit was awesome. Stuff that's not awesome, Dotto, I feel like we got to bring this up.
Ooh, topic shift.
Multiverses is officially dead.
Oh, brother. Wait, Multiverses?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know we were going here. The yeah, bro, I'm glad we get to talk about this shit. So did it shut down?
It shut down. Like, as of the day we are filming this, and by the time you're watching this, it'll be a couple days past, you can no longer play Multiverses. It is truly gone. The only reason we're bringing this up, if you're new to the podcast, this has been an ongoing talk. We've talked about Multiverses a surprising amount on this podcast. So now that it's officially gone, I feel like I just have to bring it up. I just have to.
I didn't do one last video. I'm kind of sad. I wanted to, say rest in piss one last time.
Man,
that's a lot harsher of an opinion than I actually have. For me, Multiverses will always go down as that game that committed one of the biggest robberies in all of gaming, a lot of potential, and then just slowly died off. That's what I'll remember it for. But it is sad that it is gone. You know, it's sad knowing that in 40 years, we won't be able to hop on Multiverses.
I do imagine you can still do local play, right? So technically, if you wanted to do a video, you could either have people...
Never mind.
Hop into your computer, or we could do one in person on like a couch co-op setup.
Oh, wow. It sounds like you're teasing something, Nano, but I'll just let it slide. I mean, maybe I could just be making stuff up.
Not much else to say about it. We've already pretty much, I think we've said our piece on Multiverses. I just felt like it needed to be brought up because we can have an ending to that story specifically. There's nothing else really to say.
But Nano, you haven't given your opinion. Do you think it was one of the biggest, do you think ending that beta where they took people's money and saying it was a beta, what do you think about that move?
I would personally love to get my money back from that.
That was still crazy, bro. I will never let it slide. And also, more than them doing it, the people online that were just like, yeah, the beta ended. No, dude, what the fuck? They took our money. The money, dude. Anyway, next topic, please.
Games need to learn from that. They cannot release and do that. They can't basically go, here you guys go, and then for like months, by the way. This isn't like a rematch 3-day beta. This is like, it'd be like if rematch came out in 2.5 weeks and then we played it for 5 months and they said, guys, we're going to take it away from you now for like a year.
Beta, because of the beta. It's a beta. So it was always going to, come back because it was a beta, guys, please.
Crazy. Absolutely. Absolutely insane. A tiny, tiny shift. Tiny, tiny shift. What are your thoughts on Marathon with the art stuff and everything going on with that? Do you think they should delay that game? Or do you think that game's completely just cooked at this point?
Yeah, the Bungie game, I think, well, I'm not going to lie. I think they have to delay it because I am getting maybe not Concord level vibes, but definitely like the internet is against it and people are like, they're licking their lips waiting for it to fail. Like them Steam charts going to drop.
I was just about to say.
People are already licking their lips. So I would put it off. You got to get it out of people's mind.
There are like 100 accounts right now that have a preloaded tweet that all they need is the screenshot of the Steam charts and like that. That's like it. They're ready to go.
You're dead. Like, and that, I hate to say it because the artist thing is a little scummy. It's sad that it happened.
And it's happened a lot at Bungie, by the way. I think that was the fourth time really? It's happened. Yes.
I don't even fuck with Bungie like that, bro. They betrayed me when they left Halo, bro. Y'all should have stayed around. But anyway, like that was the moment. And this is going to be a wild comparison, but that's like the Lunchly like mold in the cheese moment where it's like, yup, I fucking knew it, dude. You guys suck ass. And it was like, boom. It was like, all right, that's a huge blow up. And now it's worse. Like, this is the moment where they got to just step away for a little bit. And also Ark Raiders, isn't that a game in like direct competition with them?
It is. And that game actually has a lot of people behind it. Like a lot of people, a lot of good faith, I guess. Behind it. It seems like a lot of people are very, very excited about that game specifically. So
yeah, I've had that one literally brought up to me like through, more normal friends that aren't like super internet focused. Not internet focused, but like not in the, just a normal guy.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, Ark Raiders, I want to try that. That's cool. I definitely didn't hear anything about Marathon.
No.
Also, just Marathon looks so fucking butt ugly. If I can just insult it, like, I saw the first trailer and I literally thought Marathon was the subtitle for the next Destiny 2 expansion. It looked exactly like Destiny 2, which is already years old.
Yeah, it's fighting an uphill battle. I'll be real, and I have to imagine these are discussions going on over there, but they're like, this is potentially a game that they're just not going to be able to bring back like in good light. Like again, I don't think it's going to be totally a Concord situation simply because it is Bungie, and Bungie does have like its diehard fans with its Destiny and still probably some legacy Halo people, but I don't know, man. And also, I'm not crazy for thinking they confirmed it's also a pay game, right? Like you have to pay. They haven't confirmed the price, but it's probably like a $40 game versus free to play. And this space has
I don't think you're bad for saying that.
Huh?
I said, I don't think you're wrong for saying that.
I can just literally find out. Is
Oh, brother, is Marathon, Googling information to correct yourself on a podcast. Is Marathon this isn't in the sport of the game.
No, it is not free to play. It will be a premium game with purchase price, according to Bungie. It hasn't been officially announced, but it is suggested it'll probably be a $40 game. Yeah, I don't know. Like, gaming is so weird. There's so many offerings available for free that if you're not Call of Duty, it's really hard to get people to spend money on this type of experience right now. Like, really, really hard. And it's sad.
I don't even think it's that hard, to be honest. But it has to be good. Like, people have to think it's good.
People are talking about... Have you ever been a Battlefield guy?
No, but I've heard a lot of things about Battlefield recently.
Yeah, apparently 6, they might be able to win back public opinion on this. Apparently a lot of people that got to touch 6, it's saying it's actually good, which is...
I do want to jump in on this because Battlefield fans will say this about every Battlefield game before the Battlefield game comes out and they hate it. So far, that's been my experience.
That is every single
fucking time, like, no, Battlefield 1 is bringing me back. It's over.
I want to slightly defend Marathon, by the way. I actually don't think Marathon looks that bad. I kind of like the style of Marathon personally, but I can get that it's a bit of a polarizing art direction specifically. By the way, the art that was stolen is just like, I believe some
wallpapers and stuff.
Yeah, it's not like the entire like, direct. I saw some people like misconstrue that. I think they thought like the entire art direction of Marathon was stolen, but it's more like some decals and stuff in the game are like literally just ripped from an artist off of their like profile page or something, which is just like actually insane to do. Anyways, we can move on. We can move off a Marathon onto a drastically different topic. Dotto, are you picking up any of Sydney Sweeney's bathwater soap?
No, I'm not, but I did see that for you. You really did get the I'm liking this format here. I'm not obviously, but whenever I see that, I just think back and feel bad for who's the first girl to do that.
Oh my gosh, she's the,
like Bella something,
Agemo type face girl.
This sounds like a moment, by the way. I'm gonna jump out in front of the comments. This sounds like a moment where it's like, yeah, it's like Riley, I'm trying to remember their name, Riley Reed, I think it was Riley Reed. It's like, yeah, okay, bro. But actually, I think it was Delphine.
Yes, but like,
I don't know if I'm getting that from like Delfino. Like,
No. It definitely is Bella. Is it Bella or Bell? Either way, yes.
Bro's really trying to throw him off the trail now. I was already saying it, but damn, bro, like you were like Bell or Bella. I don't know. I have no clue. I've never heard of him.
But anyways, yes, she tried selling her bathwater, and I think like the internet like ridiculed
not
her.
Not even try or ridiculed, but yes, people may find it. I always just think of her. I was like, man, she is really smart. Like she should get like a and this is now this is gonna sound like glaze, but I actually mean it. Like over the years, I've just been on the internet, been around. Pretty much every business move she makes is like 5 years ahead of time. Always like on the forefront of like business and shit like that. When I saw that, I was like, no fucking way. Like, obviously that meme blew up, but this is like an actual celebrity doing this. Obviously it's with a bit of a memeier like trend setting company. It's a Squatch thing, ain't it?
Yeah, it's Dr. Squatch, which this is
so
like
they're like more like
them.
Yeah, this is like on brand. They you know, we're internet guys too, you know. But still, that was another example where I was like, damn, that girl, she fucking knows business, dude. Like, she was insane.
This was in 2019, by the way, if you want to feel old. That moment was from July 2019. That does not feel like it was that long ago. Apparently, she just recently talked about it because of the Sydney Sweeney stuff. And she said on a podcast that she sold roughly 600 of them, making about $18,000 in bathwater sales. That's crazy that you just sat in
a tub. I can't believe it was that low.
I would have thought it was more too, but I guess since she was trying to be like legitimate with it or something. This is all coming back to me now. I feel like she's trying to be legit with it or something, and so she like genuinely you were getting like her real bathwater, and like that would be hard to produce. That's why like it's like five. So I looked into it. It's 5,000. They're selling 5,000 bars of this soap, and it has a drop of her bathwater in it. So it will technically have some in it, but it's like a drop. So I guess they really did get Sydney Sweeney in a bathtub, and then they instead of it being a whole vial of it or some shit, it's like literally just a drop, so they can say that it's on there, right?
But, I don't know why that makes me more uncomfortable. Like that, like actual bathwater is gross, dude. Like that's fucking like I get being horny, but that is nasty shit, dude. Like if you could take a step back, and even then it's like I thought it literally was just like they would sit in the bath, like to just say it was legit, I guess, like have the legit. It was still nasty. But then I thought she would like scoop it. Having one drop is like, I don't even want that in there, dude. Just like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
Donald said he wants that. He wants a whole ass can of it or none at all, bro.
I guess so. Because if it's a whole can, then it's like, this is gross. Haha. I'm a loser. You know, I'm an internet guy. I bought this. Or even just like, I'm actually horny. I'm going to go jerk off with this or something. Whatever you want to do, right? It's whatever. But having one droplet is like, no, honey, like I promise. Like, I just really like the smell. And the fact that it's 1%, I don't know. Like, I think it's funny. I don't know.
Are you telling me I should cancel my order? Is that what you're saying? Like, is my wife going to get mad at this?
I think so. Yeah, I think she probably wouldn't enjoy that.
Damn it.
Just 1%. I'm just imagining, like, get in the bath. She gets in the bath, like, gets out, and then immediately like, thanks, we'll send the check in the mail.
Nah, dude, if it's 5,000 of these, so they probably had several baths lined up, and they're like, all right, Sydney, we need you to get in each one.
Okay, but now I have to be the guy to ask the question, like, was she wearing a bikini or like clothes?
I do have to ask this
because like I don't know, is this like what are you paying for here? Like who is, I don't know how to ask this line of questioning.
Are you saying that if she wasn't naked, it's not worth it?
I would imagine if I was the potential buyer, if she wasn't naked, then, but this is, again, it's impossible to talk about this without sounding fucking insane.
Dude,
but I'm just saying, for the freaks out there, is it really good enough to just sit in clothes in water? That's what I'm saying.
Dude, it's June, and you know what June is good for, right? It's,
what? No, I don't. What is this?
It's gooning in June, bro.
Goons. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. I guess I just want to know, because also I'm feeling. I know she probably got paid a lot for this, and this is, you know, she works in Hollywood.
Like, how much do they paid her to do that? Like this, well, she's already the like just, poster, right? Because she I've seen her in ads before for this.
Yeah,
even
she's in the ad. You know, she does ads. She's in big movies. She's like that woman in Hollywood right now. And I'm sure also working in Hollywood comes with things like this, but I'm just like, how do you go about, like, I guess I'm just worried about like, what was it like in the room? Like ethically, like, okay, get in the bath. Awesome. Thank you. Like, why don't you splash around for a little bit? Like, I just want to know like what this was like. I guess I get worried. I get really worried about this shit. Like I actually worry a lot about people in Hollywood, bro. Like, I think it comes from the era I grew up watching shows. You probably didn't watch this. There was a show called Victorious.
I did not watch that. No.
And as a growing boy at the time, there were episodes where I was like, it was crazy shit, dude. Like they literally had, I'm trying to remember her name. A very popular actress, singer.
That's Ariana Grande one, right?
Yes, it was Ariana Grande. And I kid you not, Nano, there was an episode where they're washing cars, and she has a white t-shirt on, and they're spraying her with a hose, and she's like dancing around. And I was like, whoa. But now as an adult, I'm like,
is this a Nickelodeon show? This is probably a Nickelodeon show, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like a normal show. And I'm like, dude, what is going on here? Like as a kid, I'm like, I can't believe this is on TV. And as an adult, I'm like, where were her parents? Why were her parents not shutting the show down for this? It was insane. And that's just kind of how I picture Hollywood now.
Yeah, this show came out in 2010, so you know I did see some of these shows a little bit further than I probably should have, because when I was dating my now wife, but at the time we were like in high school, and she has a younger sister, and we would a lot of times just like stay home and like watch TV like with her, and she'd have, we'd have TV on, and so like I watched stuff past, but we never made it to this. I guess by this point she also was like out of watching those shows, because I don't know, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of the show ever. The show I remember watching was Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana was a show that was definitely past my time, but we watched it because she wanted to watch Disney Channel and stuff. So anywho, it's crazy. Yeah, nah. I'm on this site, by the way. Sorry to bring it back to this is the last thing about the soap, because now it's going to sound like an ad, but I just want to bring this up, the polarization of this. You're on the Dr. Squatch site, and you can either buy the bathwater soap, or sorry, right now it's Enter to Win, or Dotto, you can buy some Minecraft diamond scrub, dude. What are we doing, dude? How are we,
Minecraft,
like,
diamond soap?
Children's game? That's not fair to call it that, but still, kind of.
Were you afraid the Minecraft community were going to decapitate game? It is, bro. Like, it's a game that a lot of kids like.
And then Sydney Sweeney's bathwater. This is crazy, dog. It absolutely...
Both are just jokes, bro.
Yeah, man. All right, Dotto. Little conversation change. Are you excited?
Next on the topic list,
Elden Ring Nightreign, bro. Is this?
I just tried it for the first time. Okay. I'm not gonna lie. Have you played it yet?
I've not got to play it, but it is on my to do list. I'm actually pretty stoked to try this game out.
I'm not gonna lie. It's fun. I think it's interesting. I like that the FromSoft is trying something like this, and I like that just a game company is trying something like this. But at the same time, I easily see how it has mixed reviews on Steam right now, or at least it did when I bought it. Because I get the feeling like I'm having fun, I'm playing it, but at the same time, I feel kind of like I'm playing the fast food equivalent of gaming. Like it's an off the wall idea. It's something new. It's something wacky, something they threw together. But then I'm sitting there, I'm like, I paid $40 for this. I'm walking around the world of Elden Ring. Not really, but I'm like, when I think of Elden Ring, I think of like an adventure, like a gaming art masterpiece. Like I'm in the world, I'm walking around, I'm having a good time. But when I play this, I'm like, I feel the fact that I paid $40 for it. I'm like, well, so, but it is good. It is a fun time. It's just, I've never felt it playing any other game, and maybe I'm just getting old, but it was interesting.
Okay. I'm stoked. I didn't really look into this too much. This game, because it was just a game that I was like, I'm probably gonna play it, so no matter what. But it's a roguelike, right? Like each run's kind of like different, randomized.
Yeah, there's like, so just the overall pitch is there's like seven crazy big bosses, right? These are different bosses. You can select them, and then you'll go on like a 2-day run. Third day will be the boss, and then you fight bosses, and you're trying to build up your levels and your equipment so that you can beat the crazy big boss that you're hunting. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, it's roguelike. You queue up with friends, you run around a map, a day resets, you run around the map, fight the second boss, and then you go into the final boss fight with everything you have and what you saved up, and you have ultimates and abilities. My only actual big complaint is the control setup for using the abilities is dog awful. It is fucking cheeks. It makes me so mad.
Damn. Okay. It's an actual like heavy opinion here. Okay.
I'll just break it down for you. So it's a two button combination to do the moves, right? So on PlayStation, it would be L2 triangle on, these are the two buttons involved, right? And then on Xbox, it would be Y and L2, left trigger. Nano, if you're doing something like that in the game, what order are you pressing the buttons in?
L2, then triangle.
Exactly, because that's the order of operations. You're prioritizing the face button. The ability only goes off in this fucking game if you do triangle and then L2. It sucks ass. My brain cannot accept it.
That sounds so weird. What?
I know. If you try it, Nano, I promise you, you're going to be like, why do they think L2 is the star of the show here? The trigger is natural to press first, in my opinion. Like you, or even just L2. Maybe it's just the fact that it's L2. Like you aim and then you shoot. I don't know. It boggles the brain, at least for me. Maybe people will disagree. It sounds like a small complaint, but genuinely, it makes me mad every time I try to use an ability.
Interesting. Well, I will hopefully find out soon. I ordered it physically, which I know is like, anyways, if you've watched this podcast enough, I'm on my physical like media thing. I might end up getting, if I played enough and like it enough, I might also get it on PC because I know you can't cross play, which is insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane, dog. I'm going to need them to get caught up on modern shit and like, because these Bandai games coming out and not having crossplay is just, I'm over it. I'm so over this, bro. Like, we are heading to a world where it really is just about whichever platform you want to play on, and it doesn't really matter, right? Like, minus of course Nintendo.
Thank God for that.
Like, I agree. Honestly, I got a buddy, like me and him were huge console heads, especially like PS3 360 is like our heyday. Like consoles and stuff, and he was a PS3 guy with me, and we loved consoles, and we built our first PCs together. I built mine first, and then he thought it was cool, and he's like, all right, I want to build one too. And it was, so we both built one in like 2012, I think, to play Diablo 3 specifically, and League. And ever since then, he's a PC guy through and through. He like has an ultra wide monitor and stuff, and he texts me the other day and goes, dude, I really might be done with consoles. Like, he bought a PS5, but he's like, I just never use it. It doesn't have ultra wide support, and that's all I really want to play anymore. And he plays a lot of Path of Exile, League of Legends, games that really take advantage of the ultra wide. And it's so interesting, like, hearing him talk about stuff, because, yeah, he's just so, like, a PC guy now, which is so weird, because he used to be such a console guy. Like, he was very anti wanting to play PC games. Because one of my buddies would try to get him on League, and he's like, PC game, don't care. And now he's like, he doesn't want to have a console. He just wants everything on PC. He still wants to play PlayStation games, though, like God of War, Uncharted, all that, like, day one. But, anyways, I just think we're heading towards a land where it's like going to be the Nintendo Switch, and then it's going to be all the other games on everything else. Like,
I think so too, which is why I like what Xbox does. Like, genuinely, like, I play Xbox games, I can play them on my computer, but I also like my Series X. To be honest, I think I'm also just in a position where the PS5, I just fucking don't like turning the thing on. Like, I don't like it for some reason. I think it's just because. I think it's just, it's never, like, I was always an Xbox guy, so mm-hmm. I've never really been attached, but I don't like trophies. I don't like the thing. I'd rather play on my PC anyway. There's no games on there that I would want to play. Like, the only thing Sony has going is that they make the best controllers for fighting games in terms of consoles. To me. And also their attachment to anime, so they get more games like, you know, anime fighting games or some shit like that. Yeah. But that's it. And literally that last one, I can use my PC anyway. I think it is just kind of a thing of getting older. I'm just going to have my PC anyway. But Xbox still has me locked in. My PlayStation has completely fucking lost me. Like, I know that Dion and you are probably going to get Night Rain on PlayStation. That is the only way I'd probably buy it, because I bought it immediately on PC. And that's good for me, dude. I'm happy with that.
Two things. I obviously like my PC stuff. Love building PCs. Love having like the high end shits. But like, occasionally I just don't want to sit at this desk. And if I'm not sitting at this desk, don't get me wrong. The Xbox ecosystem is really good. I do think that they have positioned them in a way that they are going to flourish, right? As what they are now, basically a third party developer, because all their games are coming out on PlayStation now, which is really crazy. I'm actually very excited for Gears of War on coming back out. I'm gonna have trophy support and all that. It's insane. You're gonna be playing Gears of War on PlayStation. But all that to say, PlayStation has just been in a bad spot because Jim Ryan came in and basically made every one of their studios that they own go make basically Concord style like live service games, and then Concord came out and was a massive dud, and now like people just want them to make single player good experiences. And so I'm guessing PlayStation gonna have a very strong second half of the 2020s, but I can agree that this first half it's not been as bad as people want to say, because we still got a lot of really good games. Like God of War Ragnarok alone carries heavy, but and also Returnal. If you guys have never played Returnal, please give Returnal a chance. It's on PC too. It's just like, that game is so much fun. And it's a roguelike, and it looks really good, and it's just a blast to play. Really, really, really heavy on gameplay. But I do think they're going to set themselves up for a really strong, like, 2020, end of 2020s, early 2030s. I do wonder if it'll be day and date on PlayStation and PC at that point, or if they're really going to still try to stick to this whole, like, 1 year of exclusivity on their console. Like, it's going to be so interesting seeing what happens with that. So interesting. Also, were you buying GTA 6? Xbox?
Well, Probably on PC if I can.
No.
But then, remember, yeah,
Xbox. It will not be on PC day one.
Oh.
I think they've got some deal with the consoles.
That's probably a game where I would just do both, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Like, because, but again, if I could, and it was just me, I wish everybody that I knew would play on Xbox, because yes, that would be way better.
That game will surely have crossplay, right? There's no way they lock GTA Online.
Oh, if it has crossplay, then Xbox, absolutely. I'm just buying it on that.
Okay.
Because, dude, I don't know how you guys play with those stupid controllers, man. Like, the controllers suck for any game other than fighting games.
Interesting. I like both, but I love my DualSense. Final topic before we get to a little bit of Zero Rewatch today. Switch 2, bro. It's days away. Are you excited?
Yes, actually. I'm looking forward to playing Mario Kart. I'm looking forward to just...
Dude, Tears of the Kingdom releases for the first time. And, like...
Yeah, for you, dude. That's still... Dude... God, I hate the Switch. I'm pretty hyped. I'm hyped to care about Nintendo again. I haven't cared about Nintendo since fucking Snipperclips 18 years ago. So.
Are you buying the $10 pack-in game that's not
hell
a pack-in
no.
game?
No, no,
I'm not supporting
no.
it either. No, I'm not doing it.
No,
I refuse.
It doesn't even,
I won't lie. I don't think this is a crazy take. It doesn't even look interesting.
It doesn't. It looks bad. I don't care. How are you going to give me a tour of the Nintendo Switch 2? I've seen the Nintendo Switch 1. I get it. Like, nobody... It's awful. God, Nintendo sucks.
I really thought that's Metroid another Nintendo was a launch sucks game, moment. I really thought Metroid Prime was a launch game for some reason. Especially since it has, like, it's their... It's literally their poster child for this mouse, you know, ability that you can do with the Joy-Cons, and it doesn't launch with the console. It also
doesn't... Well, if Metroid came out with the console, then it would have a good launch roster, and they would never want that.
Oh, so you're in agreement that the launch titles for this game or this console are ass? Because I get Mario Kart is a huge title. I get that's one, but
that's the thing is, like, it has the one, and I think honestly, maybe I would disagree with you because I think having one fantastic one is all you really need. So I'm still happy with it because that's the game I would want to play.
Donkey Kong was launched, bro. I would like that's the game. I want to play Donkey Kong so bad. Like, it's easily one of my. Well, if it wasn't for Death Stranding 2 this year and Ghost of Yotei, it would be my number one. But Death Stranding 2 and Ghost of Yotei are just like they're too high up on my
Death Stranding 2. I still need to beat Death Stranding 1. I'm trying very hard to get that. I've speaking of like nanogenics takes, I've beaten the OST 18 times now, bro. I've been spamming listening to it's so good. And honestly, it's the first time in my life where the game design decisions are affecting my real life. Cause obviously Death Stranding, a lot of walking around, a lot of delivering stuff. So basically like tedious processes. The music is great at that. I'd be driving like I could probably drive for 3 hours and not feel it if I'm listening to the OST. Cause I'm just like immersed. I feel like I'm doing something.
Wait, though. Hang on, though. If you listen to the OST and you haven't beat the game, surely you've not listened to some of the... Have you listened to everything? Oh, shit, man. I didn't do that because I didn't want
to
be spoiled.
I listened to it on Spotify, bro. I'm just a fan of the artist now. Like, I haven't heard anything.
I bet you've heard, like, the song, though. Like,
probably.
There's a song that plays towards the end of the game that, like, it just fits. And it was my first time hearing it, and it just fits so good. And I was like... Man, dude, that game is art. I stand by that. I know some people like really want to criticize that game for its gameplay choices, but to me, that game is just freaking art.
I don't even think its gameplay choices are that bad. I mean, there's a little bit of walking around, so I think that already like calls a lot of the gaming population, but it's basically just an action puzzle game. Like, that's all it really is. Yeah. Like, I bring ladders, and then I find a way to use my ladders, and maybe I use a rope, and it's like an immersive puzzle game. Like, it's fun. Like, it's like... If I take this route, I might fuck myself because I don't know if I can. Like, I scaled a mountain with like 5 ladders and a dream, and it worked, and it was sick.
But okay, so you are enjoying that aspect of the game.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game. Like, that is the most fun. The only thing is, and this sounds like a bitch take, bitch moments. There's sometimes the only thing that keeps me from playing Death Stranding a lot, and I really enjoy this aspect. I'm not saying to tone it down. But I'm very bad with the stress of the BT mechanic, bro. Like, it's a very stressful fucking game for me.
Yeah.
Which is, it's trying to do that, but it works too good. Like, obviously, like, what should I play? Oh, Death Stranding's good. But then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can deal with it right now. Like, I don't know if I'm, like, ready. Because, like, you know, the ghost appear around you. Like, if you don't know what the game is, if you watch the gameplay on mute, you'd think I was stupid. But, like, there's an invisible ghost, and you have a little robot, and he goes... I'm like, oh, fuck. I need to get the fuck out of here. You know, I'm still so early, good. But, like, when you go into the forest, Nano, like, dude, the first time, like, the dead forest...
That part's pretty intense, man.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking intense. I'm like, I must have killed 40 minutes... just like trying to find a way around the forest. Cause I was just like, I don't think this is the right move. That shit was tough, dude.
Oh my gosh. Is that what you're trying to get to? That's not one of the incinerators, right? That's like, is it the satellite tower, or?
I think it is a satellite tower. Yeah. It's like before Port Knot City, which is where I ended after I beat my first like big fight.
Oh, you're okay.
Ooh. I'm making moves, bro. It's just I gotta deal with the stress. Like, I gotta just knuckle down and get back in there. But I'm always so worried, man. Like, it's so stressful.
I think Death Stranding 2, I know a lot of people, and you played it as well, a lot of people are super high up on Expedition 33, but I think right now, I mean, unless we have some crazy surprise hit, I think Death Stranding 2 might be people's game of the... I mean, the previews for this game currently sound off the charts. So, like,
yeah, I would have high hopes, honestly, even just musically. I really want to see, this is again Nano moments, bro, but I want to see what they do musically in the next game, because that shit is good.
Yeah, they're keeping it under wraps. Like, I remember, like, the people that went and got to preview the game, and they let them play for like 30 hours. Dotto, can you imagine previewing game, playing for 30 hours, and you don't get to take the save with you? That's crazy. But, one of the things they could not talk about was they couldn't talk about the OST, they couldn't talk about any songs they heard. So they're like, they actually want you to like experience that for the first time, like,
because
yourself.
it's such a big moment, bro. Like, I mean, I'm locked in on that game. I want to play it.
Speaking of first, big moments, beat this one. And major events,
key moments.
Speaking of those things, we watched two Dragon Ball episodes today. Dotto, again, they can mm-hmm, watch by mm-hmm. subscribing to the Patreon or clicking join here on YouTube. But the major events of the two episodes we watched today was Zarbon's mission. In this episode is when Vegeta steals the 5 Dragon Balls that Frieza had collected, and Gohan finds the Dragon Ball that Vegeta had hidden underwater. Dotto, this was a great episode.
I was going to say, the way you made it sounded not good, but these are two of my favorite episodes from the Namek saga. They're really good because, again, when I pitched the Namek saga to you and why I thought it was so good, this is why I meant it, because there's three parties in play here. There's the heroes, there's Vegeta, and then there's the villains, and it's like, it's sick. Which I do think it could have been more interesting, but Zarbon versus Vegeta is why it's cool, bro. The only thing I will say is I do not understand Vegeta's plan anymore. As a kid, I thought it made sense to me, but as soon as you, like, Vegeta's on the ship, right? He's got to get the Dragon Balls out of there. And his plan is like, oh, I'm going to yell at them, show them I'm still on the ship, blow up something down the hallway, and then I'll throw the Dragon Balls out. If I'm Frieza, the second I hear the motherfucker is on board, I'm just blitzing the Dragon Balls.
But Dotto, Zarbon was camping, okay? Zarbon was camping, which is
he
like
was camping heavy,
foul.
Dude.
And so that's why he had to do that, because like he had a pretty good plan from the previous episode where he made it look like he left and he stayed on the ship. But now Zarbon wasn't fucking leaving, so he had to act and do something. So that's what he did, bro.
Yeah, I just would have been worried if I was him. I like the blowing up strat. That's smart. Saying I'm over here, it's like, I don't know about that one. Like, that's kind of crazy. Yeah,
maybe that. Okay, all right. Maybe you got a point there. But other than that, Zarbon was camping. So like, what else could he do?
He was camping pretty heavy, bro. Like, Frieza was breathing down his neck. It's a stressful time. Like, I can't really be too angry at it.
The other aspect of this, I'll speak, I guess, more in broad strokes, because we watched back to back episodes. So these two blend together.
So.
I will say the other sort of storyline happening right now, besides what's happening on Namek, is Goku in the Capsule Corp spaceship with 100 times gravity. And honestly, I was enjoying the intertwining of the two stories of Goku struggling because he's like worn out doing 10,000 crunches or 10,000 sit-ups upside down. And that was a really good, like, I was these two episodes went by so fast for me. I don't know about for you, Dotto, but these went by really, really fast for me. These were like great episodes of Dragon Ball Z. You want to know some differences from the manga?
Yeah, hit me with some differences real quick.
So in Zarbon's mission, Gohan making a grave for the Namekians that Vegeta killed is exclusive to the anime. That is good anime, like, addition, in my opinion.
Hold on, what'd you say?
Gohan making a grave for the Namekians that Vegeta killed in that village is exclusive
Yeah, no, that's good.
So that's an actual W anime addition. And then Goku being unable to move after training due to the gravity machine malfunctioning while a spaceship goes through a magnetic storm is exclusive to the anime. That does not surprise me.
No, it does not.
That does not surprise me. The trivia on this one specifically was the creature Gohan finds in the Namekian Dragon Ball that Vegeta hid underwater on Namek looks similar to the flesh-eating Nautili that ensnared Gohan and Krillin on fake Namek. Do you remember that? They were much bigger than on fake Namek, because this thing was the size of the Dragon Ball. The thing that they're referring to on fake Namek was freaking massive.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't tell me
don't
you forgot this. Fake Namek.
I didn't forget fake Namek. I would never forget fake Namek again now, but I don't remember this creature. I need to see this for myself. Do they have a picture of said creature?
Hang on. Fake Namek. Hang on. Surely, when I go to the fake Namek section, it's going to... It doesn't. You're going to have to actually click on the link, but they're there. Beyond that, the other is a pair of the Namekian corpses Gohan finds resemble Suna.
Oh.
And the child he was cradling when Vegeta incinerated them. The child was already dead. But there should not have been any remains left following said action. In addition, the elder's corpse has a Illidic robe and a red tunic here, whereas Suno was depicted in Unexpected Problem, and Vegeta has a ball with a light purple robe and white tunic. Ooh, man. See, this is why we just shouldn't watch the anime. We shouldn't read the manga, bro. These changes, it's kind of rude.
Yeah, the changes are kind of throwing me off here, bro.
Yikes. Anyways, then we watched the next episode, which was Gohan the Hunted. Again, not entirely sure. Let me see what the original Japanese name of this episode was. There's no way it was that, right? It's I'm back to my old self again. Goku takes on 100 times gravity. Well, why?
What do you mean, why?
So that's the original name of this episode, and they changed it to Gohan the Hunted. Why can't it just be Goku versus 100 times gravity or something?
I mean, that would have been a better title, because we both at the very end, like, Gohan only shows up for 2 seconds, and that's that, again, that's for next episode. Like, it's the preview. That's it. So I thought maybe they just, because we've complained about spoilers, and that is kind of an old anime thing, but okay, that old title was literally just, I mean, it was nothing. Like the old title was just about Goku and the thing.
I by the way, I just want to bring this up because I haven't got to do this in a while, but the original American air date for this episode specifically was September 21st, 2005, the Funimation like redub of these. So we are still not to when Funimation took over and started playing these like in the earlier 2000 years. These are episodes that were dubbed in a post being finished with Z world, which is such an interesting thing to like think about. That's the only reason I want to bring that up. So the differences here from the manga on this episode specifically, which the major events, by the way, in this episode, you guys, is literally just Vegeta fighting Zarbon and actually killing him. And he fights him in base and monster form, which Bulma was gooning over over Zarbon in base. She was, I mean, I guess I was too a little bit. I said he had pretty eyes. Cause he does, bro. Yeah, like,
yeah. But you went pretty deep in, bro. Like, you were like, I don't think I've ever seen such a beautiful pair of eyes.
Okay, I don't know. I said in the Dragon Ball universe, man. I said no. I said wow, I didn't say it like
I'm
that.
Just saying,
I said,
bro. Like, you don't got to defend yourself. I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I'm just saying, you know, it was interesting.
This
bro.
Conversation like, said, after Sydney Sweeney bathwater being a topic is crazy. But Goku, the differences from the manga here were Goku being unable to move after training due to the gravity machine malfunctioning while a spaceship goes through a magnetic storm is still exclusive to the anime. And in the anime, Zarbon fights Vegeta for a short while before transforming. In the manga, Zarbon transforms immediately.
You know, I don't mind seeing a little extra Zarbon fighting, bro. Like, it was pretty cool.
No, it was cool. Like, I'll be real, dude. Rewatching this show is making me have way more respect for some of these side characters I kind of used to just sort of like fluff off, you know? Like, I haven't, like, this rewatch has given me like a deeper appreciation for the the lesser popular characters in the series specifically. Like Saint Saga again, Saint Saga went crazy. Like when it was going crazy, it went crazy. All right, trivia on this one. They do call out the episode name. Despite the fact the episode's named after Gohan in the English dub, Gohan actually only makes a brief cameo in this episode.
It is pretty funny, though.
When Zarbon arrives for his second confrontation with Vegeta, Bulma falls in love with him at first sight, though he did not seem to notice, and thought he was there to rescue her. Ironically, she marries Vegeta years later, who kills Zarbon right in front of her. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Did you?
No, I did not. I don't remember that.
After break, wait, do you remember this? What the shit? After eating the sensu bean and going for a snack, Goku breaks the fourth wall by saying bye and waving to the viewer. What?
He did do that. You don't remember that? You don't remember that was when we were like saying like, how come nobody's used that yet? Because he literally does like a little flip and then he jumps down the hole and he goes bye.
You're right.
I didn't think he was like I knew like it was supposed to be waving at us, but I thought the excuse was that he was saying goodbye to like Dr. Brief. But I guess that makes more sense because I was looking, the TV wasn't in the background.
I was just paying more attention to just like how
happy he was. He was very upbeat, giddy.
Yeah. I think that like distracted me from him doing that. He had a Deadpool moment, huh? Okay. All right, dude. Well, if you guys aren't familiar with our format, we always like to give a little rating to each of these episodes. So we gave 55. Which was our comeback to watching the Z rewatch because we had a huge gap there because we did this in person and then Daima came out and then it was like a massive gap in episodes, which shouldn't happen again. But we went from 54, which was Guru's gift, who is now a $300 SNH figure art statue, basically, but it's not, but somehow it's going to cost $310, which is literally insane. But with tax, it's basically a $350 figure. It's tax and shipping, it's a $350 figure. It's crazy. I cannot. Ah, that's nuts. Anyways, we each gave that eights. We gave a duo eights. Last week, you were really harsh and gave Piccolo versus everyone a three, whereas I gave it a five, which was probably a little tame because that episode was kind of ass. This week, though,
It was pretty bad. Yeah,
let's first do Zarbon's mission. I can call this one out if you want to hold up your hand on that one, and then I'll
okay.
Do it. Okay. So on Zarbon's mission. Because this was the one specifically that was like still the setup with Vegeta in the spaceship. I think I'll go. I think that was like a good like seven to me.
I gave it an eight. I gave it. I held up eight fingers. There was a little confusion there because I couldn't figure out how to get my arms around. But yeah, no, I'd say an eight. It was pretty decent. Like again, both of these were really good.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. I'll hold up for Gohan the Hunted here. What do you got?
I'm giving this one another 10, bro. Like, this is pretty much what I watched the show for right here.
I gave it
this
a 9.
This is an easy 10.
I gave it a 9.
Okay. You're coming around. This is another Namek Saga 10 for me. Literally just Vegeta killing Zarbon. That's probably enough. But them fighting, and even the Goku stuff was interesting.
Yeah,
and
the
funny.
Goku stuff was really interesting to me. Yeah. W anime filler. That was, like, I need
it was
more
good,
of that.
Bro. It was good. Like, the Kamehameha in the gravity, like, falling.
Ended up using Kaioken, too. Yeah. There was a moment in this that I just did not remember, and it's where he shoots out a Kamehameha, and like it's not a beam, it's more of like an actual orb, and it's like fighting against the gravity itself. I don't know. That honestly, like if all the filler that they add was always as good as that, like I'm so tapped in. The stuff on like King Kai's planet, like they can keep that. That was
that one was pretty bad. Yeah, like that just went on way too long, bro.
Yes. When they start doing those things where we see the same person but from different angles or just from different cut-ins like multiple times and nothing's changed, like, you know, like we're in for some like dreadful filler type stuff. So, man, although I feel like I hear something. Do you hear that?
It's the music again. It's saying it's time to end the episode. Pretty good one overall.
This,
I like
this
topics.
Actually, it's coming for you, Dotto. Run, Dotto.
Oh,
Dotto, run.
Get me out of here. I can't leave. I'm in this webcam box.